Welcome to 50 Words for Murder, the podcast where we delve into the stories behind the headlines. I'm your host, Justin, and on today's episode, this was recorded originally on YouTube. We have pulled the audio and repurposed it to the podcast so that you can take it on the go and listen to it at your convenience. If you would like to see these in real time, live, with any of the things that we're showing on the screen, you can go to YouTube and follow me at Justin on TikTok. You can also reach this YouTube channel by going to justinontiktok.com. Going underneath my photo on the far right, and you'll see the YouTube link. Enjoy this episode. Hey, everyone. Hope you guys are having a good morning, evening, afternoon, whenever you're watching this, wherever you are in the world. The true crime world has been absolutely insane the last couple days, last few days. And two cases that have also been insane for longer than that are, of course, Sebastian Rogers and Caleb Harris. And so tonight our special guest is Tony Mathis, and I asked Tony to come on. I've done stuff with Tony before with Caleb and with Randy Harris, and as a lot of y'all know, he recently took on being the spokesperson for Seth Rogers for the Sebastian Rogers case, and a lot of people have questions about that, and I'm not afraid to ask him those questions, so he agreed to come on so we could kind of clear the air and, you know, let you guys know why he's in it, why he's doing this, and basically answer the questions that y'all have had. Now, obviously, you know that before we get into that, I have to do the stuff that pays the bills real quick, right? So let's start doing that. But first of all, you guys know that I have a podcast and I have been terrible at rolling these things over, but I will be doing a lot of them over the next 2 days, getting a lot of these episodes that we've been doing rolled over to that. So if you can't watch it on YouTube, you can take it on the go, 50 Words for Murder. You just go to my link, justinontiktok.com. Scroll down till you see this, 50 Words for Murder. Click on it. It'll take you to Spotify, but you can listen to it anywhere that you listen to podcasts. The next thing is, of course, again, pay the bills. I have written two children's books. The reason that I wrote these, the second one is actually kind of comes out of true crime, but this one I'm no contact with my mom, living with my dad. My daughter started asking questions. These are a resource. Found out one didn't exist, so I wrote it. You can order this in the next book from the TikTok shop or through the link in my bio, justinontiktok.com. And then this is the second book. And honestly, this one was born out of true crime. You know, we cover a lot of cases where things, terrible things happen to children. And oftentimes it's one of those situations if they knew that they could use their voice and didn't need to be afraid of it, perhaps some of that would have been prevented. Audrey Cunningham, Madeline Soto are two that quickly come to mind. So what this book does is it allows you to teach your children that they should not be keeping secrets. Adults especially should not be asking children to keep secrets. And at the end of it, there's a Q&A that you can have an age-appropriate discussion with your child. So again, if you want to order those, just on TikTok.com. So without further ado, let's bring on Tony and have a discussion. Hey, Tony, how are you doing tonight?
Good, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. You have been a busy man today.
I've been busy. What'd you call me earlier? Can we say
I'm not going to say what I called you. We're not going to say that on YouTube, but you know what I called you earlier. Anyway, so we talked before you came on here, and I appreciate you coming on again to kind of answer some of these questions. You set the internet ablaze a few days ago when you announced that you were going to be working with Seth Rogers and Sebastian Rogers, this case, in addition to Caleb Harris, who you've already been working on.
Yep.
And so that's raised a lot of questions from people. And I figured we could just take an opportunity to give some updates on both of those cases and go through some of these questions or comments that they have.
I'm now the most hated man in America somehow.
Yeah, I know. I know. But here you are. I have you, so it's okay. It's okay. You can be safe, sort of safe space. Just don't look at the comments. I don't know. Actually, the comments could be nice. I don't know.
Yeah.
But with that being said, before we get into the questions, I haven't done a Caleb update in a while. Is there anything new to report with that?
No, not really. I mean, we have a lot of faith in law enforcement in that case, and we do believe that law enforcement has got a lot of data they're sifting through. And I think the family is very positive right now that some of that evidence is going to lead to something good. So, you know, it's been a digital investigation for quite some time now. And I think that, you know, it takes a while to get that information back. And, you know, we're going to be patient, allow them to do that.
And I think it's a good time to remind people that with these cases, with law enforcement, they don't release everything. They just can't. Right. And I think that's probably a lot of what's going on. You know, you don't know what you don't know. And they've been pretty tight-lipped about it, right? So, right. You know, hopefully we'll have some updates or some information we can work with soon. But, you know, Caleb has not been found, just to let y'all know. You can follow Tony, by the way. It's Find Caleb Harris is his handle on TikTok. But he's not been found. He still needs eyes. He still needs awareness. So if you can remember to do so, go grab off of the Find Caleb Harris Facebook page or missing Caleb Harris missing pages. Grab, you know, a copy of his flyer, share it to social media and all of that stuff. Now, let's talk about Sebastian, because there are some updates there that we can talk about over the last couple of days. What do you want to say about that one update wise?
So are we wanting to talk about the North Carolina situation? Is that what you're alluding to?
Well, I wasn't alluding to anything. We can talk about whatever you want to, because I don't know what you know that you can say, but yeah, we can talk about the North Carolina thing. I made a video earlier about it, and for people who don't know what he's talking about, you probably do, but just in case, there is a photo that's been floating around for about a week now, right? And right. It first came out that, you know, hey, this looks like Sebastian Rogers. And then it was like, is it AI? Is it Sebastian Rogers? Well, apparently where law enforcement stands is they do not believe that it's AI. They don't necessarily believe it's Sebastian Rogers, but they believe that it is a real photo. It is something that they are investigating. They've talked to the woman that took the picture, correct? If I understand.
Correct. One of the two guys has talked to her.
Okay, so they've talked to them, but they're still investigating it. Nothing's been confirmed or denied yet. So right now it's a viable lead.
Correct. It's part of the investigation for sure.
Is there anything else about North Carolina that you can speak
to?
No,
I mean, just, you know, everybody knows Seth went out there and they wouldn't let him see the footage. Law enforcement had told them not to let anybody see the footage. So, you know, in the world that we live in, that's all great stuff, because if there's nothing to see here, then why are you protecting the footage? So, you know, everything like that leads them to believe that they've got some real footage, proof of life, so to speak. I mean, that's fantastic.
And that footage came from the visitor center, I'm assuming, surveillance from there?
Correct. Yeah.
There's a lot of rumors regarding that photo, that the woman in there is somehow related to Sebastian or related to Chris or Katie or Seth. I mean, I've heard all different versions of it. Is there any truth to that rumor that you were able to speak to?
Not to my knowledge. That person in there is a lady with a blonde hair and a bun. And I think there are people that speculating there might be some similarities, but I don't think there's really anything to that. I think it's just that she may not even be related to the kid in the picture. It could just be an angle, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I just wanted to make sure we address that coming from your mouth, you know, to kind of stop that on the internet.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that's new regarding Sebastian's case that people should be aware of?
Not at this time.
All right. Well, let's get into you then. So
wonderful.
I know you're very excited. I have a list of questions because I asked my followers, you know, hey, what do you want to know? And then I asked some of my own too. I guess let's start with Caleb, because that's what kind of brought you into this world. Let's actually go back before that. Tell us, you know, whatever you're to the degree that you're comfortable sharing, you know, what's your background as far as like what you do, you know, what you want people to know about you.
So let's just have a conversation, right?
Yeah, have a conversation. So,
I have no spokesperson background. I did not wake up 2 months ago and decide that I wanted to be somebody's spokesperson. I'm not one of these people that wants to put myself in somebody's bad situation. I'm a normal guy. I've got a normal family. I've got a great family. I've been blessed in life. And I happen to be really good friends with Randy Harris. I work with him. He likes me. He trusts me, and the feeling's mutual. And when I started out with Caleb's case, it was kind of like this deal with Seth. I mean, I just started out giving him advice from the background. I helped him kind of gain control of a Facebook page to where we could kind of control the message and use it to, you know, create some volunteers and whatnot. And, you know, he got about a week and a half to 2 weeks into that. And it became, you know, when we would talk, it was more, man, I could really use you here. I could really use somebody handling these interviews and whatnot. And I just told him, I said, brother, all you got to do is tell me what your needs are. And, you know, I'm there for you. So if you need me to help you with interviews, if you need me to set up interviews, if you need me to do interviews, if you need me to be on interviews with you, I'll do anything you need me to help you do. And that's kind of how it all got started.
So basically and you worked with Randy, correct?
Yeah, like we worked together for coming up on 3 years.
So Randy Harris and then worked together, and you sell cranes for a living, correct?
That's correct.
Your day,
yeah,
job.
I live in Oklahoma, but I cover like the northern part of the country, North and South Dakota. I'm in a hotel room in North Dakota right now.
So the next thing I'm going to say, and I already know the answer to this question, and I'm going to ask it anyways, even though it seems like a dumb question, but I know how the internet works. Do what?
Probably is.
Yeah. Chris Proudfoot works with cranes as an operator and you sell them. Is there any connection there?
No, sir. I didn't know. The first conversation I had with Chris and Katie, when I was talking to them about being a spokesperson for all three members of the family, that's when I found out that he operated a crane. So the crane world is big but small. So we know some of the same companies that we've worked together with, but he operates a crane in the southeast part of the country, and I sell cranes up in the northern part of the country. So not only would I not know him, but we wouldn't even cross paths like ever. So it's just a coincidence. That's all.
So as far as Randy's case goes, Caleb's case goes, let's go into that one first, because you know that when we get into the Sebastian Rogers case is very, very convoluted with a lot of layers. Caleb's right now is still fairly straightforward. I mean, there are layers to it, but it's easier. Is there anything, like, how do I want to ask this? Well, I'll just ask it this way. Is there any financial gain for you for working?
So there is not only zero financial gain. I've not taken a dollar from Randy. Randy can verify that. People can reach out to Randy to verify that. My wife and I have spent money out of our pockets for me to be able to be with him in Corpus Christi. I'll let you ask the next question, but you know, I'll just answer it for you. I'm not taking any money from Seth. Seth has nobody on his team right now that's getting paid anything. I'm strictly a volunteer. I've been blessed in life. I'm in a good situation financially. And even if they offered me money, which I don't have the skill set to back that up, I wouldn't take any money from one of these families going through this. And if I couldn't spend my own dime to help and to be there for them, then I wouldn't do it.
And that's the same with, I'm guessing the same with Caleb's case as well. There's no, because there's rumors out there. And again, I've spoken to you a lot, so I feel that I know the answer to this question, but I'll ask you anyways. There's rumors that people are floating out there that you were being compensated out of the GoFundMe that they were putting together for Caleb. And I'll just let you address that. I believe I know the answer. In fact, I do know the answer, but I'm going to let you answer it.
So I started the GoFundMe account with some other coworkers, and I put the first $500 into that account for the family. I never actually had access to the account because it was the first GoFundMe account I'd ever created. But when you create a GoFundMe account, the money is basically in a cloud until you direct the account or the platform to dump into somebody's bank account. So all the way until a month or so ago, that money was in a cloud. I had no access to it. And at the point in time that Randy was ready to have that dumped into his account. He gave me that information. We had to go back and forth through some verification, you know, emails, and then the money went in.
So I'm glad that you answered that. Thank you, because I know that's been a lot of something that's been floating out there, and wanted to make sure that people knew that you're doing this as a volunteer, because you are, your own time, your money, your take, you know. So here's what I can tell you about Tony, because obviously y'all know that we've spoken multiple times. You've seen me with him, you know, here and on TikTok a few times. Tony also has a family, and I'm not gonna get into the details of his family, but you know, he's working, he travels, he's taking time away from his hobbies, his family to do this. And I guess that leads me to the next question. You know, why? You know, I know why you took Randy's, but why Seth? What has drawn you to this case?
Quite honestly, I didn't want to be involved in this case because it was so muddy. But we had some common acquaintances, Seth and I did. And without getting into a lot of that, some of the acquaintances had connected me with Seth and told me that he needed some guidance, some direction. Started about 3 weeks ago. About 3 weeks ago, he was concerned about search and rescue. So I was trying to get him set up with some search and rescue people. And then as we got to talking each and every day, it became more obvious that he wanted somebody doing his interviews. He wanted somebody helping him with interviews. He wanted somebody handling all the media, and he just didn't want to do it. So what happened was I told him that if I was going to do it, I said, I need to talk to my wife. I need to talk to the Harris family. If I'm going to do it to help you, I'd really like to represent all three of you, because back then it was, you know, Team Seth, Team Sebastian. I just didn't think it would be productive to represent, you know, one side, so to speak. So, you know, we spent the next couple of weeks, you know, trying to get Chris and Katie on board. And, you know, to this day, I don't know that won't ultimately happen. But, you know, right now, you know, Friday, I agreed, you know, Seth finally just laid it out there. And he said, look, are you going to do this for me or not? And I said, yeah, brother, I'll do it for you. But, he, you know, even now, I'm still doing what I can do to protect Chris and Katie. I'm still trying to keep people from bringing them up or saying anything malicious towards them. And of course, Seth, we did an interview the other night, and I felt like it was really clean. There was no drama, which, you know, is there's a lot to be said for an interview in this case with no drama. And, you know, the offer still stands with Chris and Katie. And quite frankly, you know, if we could get this family all working together, not just superficially, but deeply, you know, I could keep everybody from out in front of a camera, and we could go back to focusing on Sebastian. And, you know, I don't really care what anybody thinks about me. I mean, I'm just a normal guy. I don't claim to be an expert in this. I didn't ask to do this. But, you know, I've got half the world out there throwing darts at me, and I'm a big boy with broad shoulders and thick skin. And if I've got people throwing arrows at me and literally creating YouTube, you know, lives to talk about me when they've never met me, that's fine. I'm okay with it. Because if they're doing that to me, they're not doing it to the family. And let's face it, those types of people, they don't care anything about Sebastian. They're never going to care anything about Sebastian. They're never going to get on the ground and help. They're never going to put any positive vibes out there for the kid. So they're going to throw arrows at somebody. It just as well be me. And if they're throwing them at me, they're not throwing them at the family. And, you know, Justin, you've dealt with enough spokespeople to know that, you know, part of the job is taking arrows, and, you know, it's just part of the deal. And I'm okay with it. I mean, I would suggest that that if somebody want to know me and not what they've heard or what they've researched or whatever, you know, I'm an open book. You know, I talked to a lady today on Facebook that kind of sent me kind of an edgy message, and I just picked up the phone and called her on Facebook. We had a 30-minute conversation, never met her before in my life. She was a great lady. And by the time we got off the phone, she said, you know, you're not what I thought you were. And I said, well, how would you know what I was if you never talked to me? And she said, well, that's on me, but I greatly appreciate your time and the call, and boy, I had you wrong. Well, I'd just like a chance, but if you're not willing to give me a chance, then hey, keep doing what you're doing. I'll keep doing what I'm doing.
So going back to me a second ago, I know that you've been talking to Chris and Kate. Are they on board with you at this point, helping them as well? Or are you still working to get them to come around?
I'm still working to get them to come around.
Okay. So what, with you coming in, so somebody said something in the comments, and so I'm going to work it into the question. A lot of people like Seth Rogers' authenticity is, I think, the word that they use, but you know how he is. He's off the cuff. He's just Seth Rogers. He is who he is. And a lot of people are drawn to that, kind of, I don't call him a loose cannon because he's not, but he's been known to, you know, say some things kind of that you didn't expect him to. With that being said, what do you say to people who are worried about taking away that authenticity, but then also going hand in hand with that, what are you doing to help Seth and Sebastian in this case?
Excuse me, I got a cough. Seth does not enjoy being on camera, and that came out of his mouth, not mine. I'm not trying to keep the world from Seth, but the Seth that was getting emotional and saying things that he regretted later, admittingly, he was not helping his own cause. And so my goal is to mitigate some of that. If we think it's good for him to be on camera, he can be on camera. I'm not telling him what to say and what not to say. I did tell him to try to keep it clean. If he got frustrated, to be frustrated. If he broke down, it's okay. If you feel broken, then show him that you're broke down. I mean, it's okay. I just think Seth feels comfortable, a lot like Randy Harris does. He feels comfortable having somebody there that if a question's asked that he doesn't feel comfortable answering, instead of going ahead and answering that, he's got somebody there to say, you know what, we're not going to talk about that right now. And I'm not a control guy at all, but I have no problem controlling a situation if I think it's going to help Seth and or Katie or Chris and or, more importantly, help find Sebastian. So I'm just kind of being a mediator, and, you know, I'm not trying to get in the limelight. I mean, I'm not trying to be a YouTube guy or a TikTok guy. I mean, I'm trying to help two dads that desperately want their kids back find their kids. And it's not anything other than that. I don't make money. I lose a lot of time with my family. There is nothing in it for me. I've never been attacked in my entire life like I have the past 48 hours. And I still don't know what your perception of somebody has to do with somebody that's willing to volunteer their time to help a family in need. I mean, I'm just lost. I don't get how people could be angry with that, but trust me, there's plenty of them.
No, you're not wrong there. I think that, you know, there's been a lot of creators, a lot of people who have, you know, everybody basically connected with this case. And I'll just go ahead and say this. I've covered a lot of true crime, starting with Gabby Petito on social media. And I have never, ever seen anything like this case, the way that it's being, I mean, the case is weird. It's obviously bizarre. We know that there are things that just don't quite add up. But the way that people are really choosing teams and really going to bat and getting angry about it, where, as you know, even I had to kind of take a step back with this and say, hey, look, you can't be team Seth. You can't be team Chris and Katie. Why can't we just all come together, have the common goal of finding Sebastian? That is the only team that we should have here at this point. And so from that perspective, I made the decision to stop, you know, step back, not talk about Seth, not talk about Chris and Katie, and just really focus on Sebastian. But you're right, walking into this, especially now 2.5 months in is where we're at. It's brutal out there if you're a face associated with this particular case. And you're finding that very
quickly. Especially if your face is ugly like mine.
Well, fair enough then. I don't think I'm going to touch that one, but...
the other thing too is one of your viewers just said it in the comments, and it didn't really hit me until I saw that, but you know, there are people that make a lot more money if this family is going back and forth at each other. And they'll make money a day or two going in and criticizing me and criticizing everything about me. But eventually that money train will dry up. And if I'm the guy that stops the family drama, then I impact some people's income. And there could be some people that are irritated about that. But you know what? It's not about your income, you meaning a YouTuber. It's not about a TikToker's income. It's not about Justin. It's not about Pascal. It's not about any of the other people that I consider to be, you know, friends of mine. It's about the kid. And it's not about anything but that. And I know it's not with you. And I know it's not with Pascal. And I know it's not with some of the other people that I trust, like Jennifer Coffendaffer. But there are some people that it's about the money. And I can tell you that the same people that are criticizing me for helping this family have made far more money over covering this family than I'll ever make, because it would only take them $1 to do that.
Yeah, it's one thing too, when it comes to cases like this, is, you know, true crime obviously is a very big, you know, genre as far as content creation, as far as, you know, TVs, movies, things like that. It's a massive market. And what I frequently like to remind people pretty much through every case is that this, as entertaining as it might be to you or as invested as you get, remember that there are real family members associated with it. There's a real child with both of them, with both Caleb and with Sebastian. You have two children. I mean, and obviously I know Caleb's an adult, but he's still a child to his parents. But there are two kids that are missing. He's a kid to me too, because, you know, he's like 21, 22, but they're kids and they're still missing. They still need to be found. And whatever outcome or fate that they have, whether they're found alive or not, then at that point, they all deserve justice and the family deserves to have answers. So, you know, just reminding people that, hey, this isn't about entertainment. It's spreading awareness, trying to make sure that these names, these faces get out there and get found, and every missing person deserves that.
And really, Seth, I mean, if Seth wants to have somebody speaking for him, he's entitled to that. It's not anybody's call or business. If Seth wanted to have some guy that was a janitor down at the convenience store talking for him, if that's what he wanted, then that should be what it is. And if you care anything about the father or the child, you shouldn't question why they're doing what they're doing. You should let them handle the worst situation in their life the way that they see fit. It's not our cross to bear. It's not our catastrophe. It's his catastrophe, and it's Katie's and Chris's, and it's all this family's catastrophe, and it's Randy and Becky Harris's catastrophe. I mean, the way they choose to grieve, the way they choose to ask people to speak for them. I mean, if you care anything about another human, I mean, let them do what they want to do. I mean, this is not our child. It's just not.
You're right. And so with all of that said, again, we're 2.5 months into this case. You know, answer this how you want, but coming in this late in the game, what do you feel that you can do effectively with this case coming in, again, 2.5 months in?
Well, right now, what I'm doing is I'm giving Seth some peace of mind. I'm giving him some time to relax and decompress. And this media thing was stressing him to the hilt. So at least with Seth, you know, time will tell what I can do for the whole case. But, you know, wrap your brain around what would happen if we could get everybody working together, keep everybody out of the media, unless we had something united and positive to say, and get everybody focused on looking for Sebastian. You know, that would be my end goal. My short-term goal is to help Seth do what he's asked me to do, help him with a lot of this media stuff, bring him on when it makes sense to have him on, and just give him some guidance and, you know, clean things up a little bit, leave the emotion other than the sadness and a little bit of the anger, you know, towards losing his son, not knowing where his son is, you know, bring a little bit of that on, but leave the real emotion, leave the, you know, losing your temper, leave that behind the scenes and, you know, let's get back to delivering a message that people can get on board with. Some people like the drama. Some people quit following the case because of the drama. I mean, I've got hundreds of messages that, you know, that said, hey, we quit following the case because we couldn't deal with the drama. Well, when you quit following the case, you're only hurting Sebastian. You're not hurting the parents. You're not hurting me.
So let's talk about law enforcement a little bit. I know we have to handle this discussion with kid gloves. How do you feel? I want to ask you for both of the cases. How do you feel they're handling? You can insert whatever way you want. How do you feel that things are being handled regarding law enforcement and their investigation into this case?
Well, you know, I mean, I've dealt with law enforcement with Randy and Caleb's case, and I'd always like for law enforcement to have, you know, maybe a weekly meeting, maybe, you know, just general discussion about what's going on with the case. I mean, nothing that's going to impede the investigation, nothing that's going to tip their hand, but just some general consistent information to make people feel good about where they're at, or are they anywhere? I mean, we don't know any of that, but that's really all I have to say about that right now, because I'm just 2 days into the game.
Yeah.
When I get to where I've got a little bit of interaction with them, I mean, I can tell you my plan is to reach out to them, gain some trust with them. And my pitch is going to be, I don't want to do anything to hurt your investigation. So when I'm doing interviews, at least for Seth or potentially for all three family members, what is it okay to talk about and what is it okay not to talk about? And if they feel like they can control some of that, then they're more likely to start communicating with the family. And that's going to be my first angle.
I think that sounds like a really great place to start. As far as Caleb's case goes, though, are you able to comment on how you feel law enforcement is handling that one?
I'd like more communication.
Okay.
But Randy does, to be fair, Randy and I are both law enforcement supporters. Randy gets a meeting every Wednesday. I would like them to be a little more open with the information that they're giving him. Again, nothing specific, but, you know, hey, do you have somebody in your crosshairs? Yes, we do. Perfect. That's all we need to know. Do you have something I can take home and tell his mother that will allow her to sleep a little better at night? That's all I'm after. That's it. Nothing more specific.
Speaking of somebody in the crosshairs, with this case, with Sebastian Rogers, last update we had from law enforcement, which was probably 2-ish weeks ago, basically it was, they're still searching, keep your eyes open, check your properties if you live in the area, but there's no real leads. There's nothing, you know, no foul play, no real leads, not a criminal investigation, et cetera. Other than the picture that's out there now that they've not said, you know, that is a lead, they've said that it is a lead. They're looking into it. They're investigating it. Have you heard of anything else that you're able to speak to? Obviously, if you can't, you can't. Regarding leads or any movement in this case where they might have somebody in their crosshairs enough to at least kind of look at them.
I haven't heard anything like that, and I'll be straight with you, Justin. The first couple days, it's been trying to get a Facebook group created that we could use for resources, we could use to disseminate information. It's been, you know, trying to come up with a plan, trying to come up with a standard way we do things. I have not dug much at all into the case. And really and truly, I mean, I need to know what it's okay for me to know. And that needs to be working in conjunction with the PI, with law enforcement. And that's what I should be sharing. I don't really need to be deeply involved in the case. I'll be more involved than I am today. But after the first 2 days, I'm not really that deep into the case. I'm still working on setting up an interview schedule and, you know, getting to know the personalities of the people involved. And, you know, it's kind of like starting any other new job. You know, you're you don't get in there and start going crazy. You start learning your coworkers and what everybody's personality is. And, you know, you start kind of identifying how it is you're going to move, if that makes sense.
It does. So you've got interview scheduled set up. Are you allowed to speak about what interviews he had or what y'all have coming up? If not, again, it's okay. But
so we have News Nation, Elizabeth Vargas tomorrow. We have Nancy Grace on Tuesday. And that's the extent of what we've got. We're going to be doing, I'm going to be getting on some groups on TikTok with some people that have, you know, a high following like yourself and some other people. I'm going to be doing an interview at some point with Jennifer Coffendaffer, you know, but I know for a fact that Seth and I together are going to do News Nation and Nancy Grace in the next 2 days.
Okay. And this, you kind of answered this, but I'm going to throw this up there because somebody asked. We need mainstream media to air and repeatedly run Sebastian's missing persons case. Can you get mainstream media to pick up Sebastian's case? So I know you just mentioned a few of those. Are there plans to get any more of the, you know, obviously News Nation is great. A lot of us who are in the true crime space watch it, but, you know, any more of the more mainstream networks, you know, your Fox, CNN, you know, more local even more local stations in Nashville. Is there any plans or are you working on a plan to get in front of more of the national media? Because obviously, last thing I'll say here is social media is social media, but you know how this works. You can talk to a lot of people who don't do a lot of social media and they will have no clue about this case at all. So it's basically another medium to reach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've got, you know, quite a few media connections that I simply made through Caleb's case. And I've had a lot of those people reach out to me. Fox and Friends is one of them. You know, we're still working to get on with Good Morning America. I'd like to talk to John Walsh about his new show, but absolutely. I mean, we haven't really even begun to go after the media yet. We're still trying to come up with a plan. And, you know, the News Nation interview and the Nancy Grace interview, they just fell into our lap. That's nothing that I went and did. You know, and I'm not a guy that's got every media on speed dial. I've got four or five major contacts, you know, through you. I mean, I've become friends with Joe Petito. He's helped a little bit, you know, push some people our way, but there's definitely plans to get some bigger interviews with some bigger media outlets. We've got to get our plan together and we've got to get our schedules together. And, you know, it's if we can do two or three of those interviews a week, we're doing really, really well in addition to the other platforms that we're utilizing.
And just so you know, I would leverage, maybe reach out to Joe. Joe does have John Walsh's information.
Yeah.
So I don't know. And he, you know, y'all can have that discussion, but Joe's got a lot of very good resources as well. And I'm sure he wouldn't mind at least in fact, I can tell you for a fact, he has no problem at least sending a message to them and asking. So
right. He's been very helpful.
Yeah. He enjoys doing that. We can't speak highly enough about Joe. So
didn't he pop on? I think he popped on one of our TikToks in Caleb's case, right?
He did. He did. And he likes to pop in sometimes. For all I know, he could be here now. He just kind of does that sometimes when he's, you know, streaming. But so Seth is still off work, correct, at this point in time?
Yes, he goes back to work next week.
Okay. How do you know? Are you able to say how he's feeling about that? Because I know he's got to be. I know he's got to be a little stressed.
You know, he wants to be there looking for Sebastian, but he also understands that he needs his job. And unfortunately, this is the same situation that Randy Harris found himself in. He had to get back to work as well. And, you know, we're, most of us aren't in positions where if our child went missing, we could take off work forever and still have a job. And that's kind of the harsh reality.
Yeah, it is. Now, regarding this case, one thing before you came on for the last few weeks, Seth had been pushing a petition to try to get the FBI to take lead on this case. We know that the FBI is involved. We know that the TBI is involved. We know that local police are involved. And we know that the Secret Service is involved. Do you know where that stands at this point? Is he still wanting FBI to take lead? Is there any movement that appears that you know of? Again, I know you're only 2 days into it, so you don't know what you don't know, but any movement that shows that the FBI might be interested in taking lead on this?
Well, unfortunately, that's not how it works. there has to be a multitude of, it could be three or four reasons. There has to be a reason that FBI takes it over, or they have to be asked to take it over by local law enforcement. And we're just not there yet. I mean, we've got a lot of reasons in Caleb's case to have the FBI take charge, and they're still not in charge in that case. And we've got a lot of digital data that's needed to be sifted through, and we got a lot more pieces in that case than we have in this one. So, you know, a petition is great, and I think that being aggressive is always good. But the truth is that, you know, it's going to take, in this situation, it's going to take local law enforcement asking for that to happen. And I don't see that happening anytime soon. I'll just, you know, I'll be honest with you.
The other option would be is if there turns out to be validity to the photo, and this is a big if.
That's one of the situations I'm talking about.
Yeah. So basically what I'm referring to, for those of y'all who don't know what he is, if the photo turns out to be Sebastian, or they have enough evidence that they believe it's Sebastian, then it becomes him being taken across state lines, which now makes it federal jurisdiction, meaning that the FBI can, well, not federal jurisdiction, but allows them to take over because it's multi-state.
What it allows is it allows them to get more involved at the onset. It does not mean that they immediately take over. So, you know, there, it's still gray there, but it gives them more of an entry to take over, if that makes sense.
It does. Now, speaking of, again, still Sebastian with this, searches. There have been a lot of searches. They seem to have gone quiet. I know that after the last vigil that I went to, not the last vigil, but the last one that I had gone to, they were still searching. It just wasn't being made as public as it was. Are you able to speak to, you know, how are they still doing searches? Are you planning, or you or anybody planning on bringing in outside search teams to come in and basically reevaluate this area, talking about, you know, Texas EquiSearch or any of those types of?
Yeah, we've got at least one search team that we're looking at bringing in. And I'll just leave it at that right now. But, you know, we definitely feel like one of the missing pieces here is we have not had enough people on the ground searching. So, you know, I'll just leave it at that. We feel like there needs to be multiple search entities in here with good intentions on the ground. And, you know, this is much different than Corpus Christi. I mean, this is an area here where you've got hundreds of thousands of acres of wooded land and private property. And, you know, we could have 10 EquiSearches in here, and it would still take forever to search. So there's a big need for that.
And as you know, maybe you don't know this, but I live in the area. Like Sebastian's house, like probably is like 12 minutes away from my house. So it's very, very close. And one thing that has been kind of problematic in this area, just so people can know, is that if there is certain properties that police and law enforcement want to get on, there are property owners out there that are refusing to let them on and search, even though they're a missing child.
Hey, Justin, do me a favor here.
Yeah.
Do you want to respond to this Charlie VR guy? I'll say guy because I don't want to call him what I'd normally call him.
I'm not sure. I don't know if I see it.
913. Why are you using Caleb Harris's name to get in with these missing children's families?
Hold on. Is he said 9:30? I got to go way back.
How much money are you? I mean, is this guy not even paying attention? I mean, you addressed all this.
Well, sometimes, and for those of people who are coming in a little bit late, they might come in seeing it live, not realizing that they could back up and see all of this. I'm still trying to find the comment, but if you want to address it, I mean, please, by all means.
So first off, I'm not using Caleb Harris's name to get in with the family. The family came to me. I didn't come to the family. Second off, I don't know anymore than, yeah, that's it right there. There you go. Of course, I don't know any more than law enforcement does. I'm not coming on as a PI, and I've made exactly $0 from either family. So, you know, I mean, either you're on board to help find Sebastian or you're not. And stuff like that doesn't do any good to anybody. It certainly doesn't do any good to Sebastian. I don't know what Charlie's doing to help the case, but I'd be interested to find out.
Probably, this is probably the bulk of what he does.
Yeah. Exactly.
Honestly, there was another thing that I saw a second ago. I can't find it, but you know, it goes pretty quickly. Here's what I'll say. Somebody's asked, like, you're not getting paid for it, you know, explain this, explain that. So what I'll say is this. Be just at the beginning, and I would encourage you, if you're coming in late, to rewind this live back to the beginning and start watching it, because we talk about the money aspect at the very, very front. What I can tell you from this, starting with Caleb Harris, is that he helped set up the GoFundMe and was the first donor to the GoFundMe. He spends his own time, money, effort, resources to go, because he doesn't live in Texas where Caleb's missing, and he doesn't live in Tennessee where Sebastian is missing. It's okay to tell you live in Oklahoma, right? You said it at the beginning. So you live in Oklahoma. And he has to fly to these places, and he does that out of his own pocket as well. So that's what I can tell you that I am aware of. And I can also tell you that, you know, he didn't come looking to, you know, to work on this case. Seth asked him to work on it. Seth felt he needed a spokesperson. I don't know why. I didn't speak to Seth about this. This was his decision. So I don't know. But I would imagine the fact that, without putting words in his mouth, that he is mentally and physically exhausted. It's been 2.5 months that his kid has been missing. He's done, I don't even know how many interviews. I would say probably hundreds at this point of interviews. And so anyways, so the whole purpose of him coming in there is basically to help clean it up, make it look a little bit better. And I think that we can talk about his interview last night. You know, he was sitting there, you know, nice shirt on, much more composed than he typically is. And that's not a bad thing.
And people got mad about that.
So the way I see it is, you know, a lot of people who do these things, they, you know, Chris Dingman is a good example for Riley Strain. He doesn't get paid either. The families ask, and what are you going to do? Tell somebody who's missing their kid? No. They asked him, and he did it. And there's a lot of work and effort that goes into this kind of stuff. As creators, there's a lot of work and effort that goes into it. But as a spokesperson, you are so much deeper into the weeds. And so just, you know, please be aware of that. But let's just say this. Even if he did get paid to do it, if the family did pay him, which they're not, it's still a lot of work away from his family, you know, his job, his, you know, hobbies, things that he likes to do. You know, it's his time. So that's what I'll say about that. Anything you want to add, or is that good?
No, I think that's good.
All right. So let me ask you this. Speaking of that last comment, how are you balancing your life, work, these two very high profile cases with your family, your kids, all of that stuff? How are you managing?
Well, I used to have spare time. I used to take my daughter to tennis lessons. She's in tennis, you know, basically 6 days a week. She's homeschooled right now. And, I used to spend a lot of time fishing, and I can tell you the last 2 months, there hadn't been a lot of fishing, and there hadn't been a lot of daddy at tennis lessons. So that's where the time's coming from, because it can't be taken away from my job.
And I do want to see this comment right here. I'm going to pin one up. We're just going to deal with some of the people in here. What is TikTok going to help? Casey, I would encourage you to reach out to Joe Petito and ask him what he thinks about TikTok and YouTube and how it helps. I would encourage you. In fact, I can, if you want to reach me directly, I have Joe's number. You can put in a text, and I'll forward it on, and I'll send you back his answer. those are basically the questions that I had for you. We can obviously take some from the comments if anybody wants to ask. I did see one actually earlier that I do want to ask that I think Bullhorn Betty was asking, which is at this point, we've all been made aware of, I'll call it alleged abuse that went on in the household. According, you know, there are things that neighbors have said, you know, things that Chris and Katie and Seth have said. Do you know if there's anything happening or movement with that?
I don't have about any of that. I've heard rumblings, but the only thing I'd say is that if you have a neighbor that's credible and a neighbor knows that a kid's missing, why on earth would a neighbor wait 60 days to disclose anything serious about Sebastian? I mean, I'm not saying it's BS, but I would be leaning towards it's BS, because no normal person would wait 60 days to come forward with something like that. And, you know, I heard the whole power washer comment. And again, I'm not going to get involved in spreading rumors, because that's what people do about me. And I don't really care for it. I know that the parents don't care for it. Step parents don't care for it. You know, I heard this, you know, this power washer thing. And I mean, let's face it, anybody that's ever used a real power washer, if you did something other than spray the kid with the mist, which is what I do to my wife and my kids when they come outside when I'm power washing, Sebastian would have been in the hospital. So, you know, I'm not really interested in all that noise, because to me at this point, it's just noise.
That's fair. Other than that, I mean, again, we'll see whatever other questions people have. We want to be cognizant of Tony's time. I know that you've been on TikTok quite a bit today, and you can follow him on Find Caleb Harris. He's been going live. He's helping with both of these cases. But what other questions do you have? We're gonna see.
And I, you know, if any of your viewers, I mean, you know, I'm on Facebook. I've got a real profile. It's not fake, like a lot of the people that are attacking everybody. If anybody wants to message me, if somebody feels like they really want to talk to me or find out what I'm about, tell them to message me. I mean, I'll call them on Facebook audio, and you know, we can have a conversation. I mean, if they're up to no good, I can't do much with them. But if they really do think I've got bad intentions or I'm making money or whatever, I mean, you know, we can have a conversation about it. I don't run from anybody. And quite frankly, if you're not helping with the case, then, you know, I'm not too concerned about what your opinion is anyway. I mean, I'm focused on these two kids.
So let's lead into this, because this is a good question. Speaking of that, there are 2,000 people in here. There's going to be more people that watch it later. What can people do to help? Obviously, they can hand out flyers for both of these kids. They can share them on their social media, get out there. But what else can people do to help?
So I think I just got a text. So this is the first thing you guys can do, is you can go join the Facebook group that is actually supported by Seth Rogers. And the name of that group is Find Sebastian Rogers. It's got 1.8 thousand members in it in one day. You're going to be able to go on that page. You're going to be able to download flyers. I mean, right now, the best thing you can do is not be part of the problem. You know, be part of the solution. Pass flyers out. Talk about the case in a positive way. Pray. Let law enforcement do their job. You know, in a situation like this, somebody says stop the drama and BS, that will help immensely. I mean, amen to that. That's spot on. But if you want to get actively involved, you know, there's nobody telling anybody they can't go to Hendersonville, Tennessee and start searching. I mean, if you got a week, you want to donate some of your time, you know, make sure you got permission to search where you're searching. But there's nothing wrong with going and getting in the woods or the weeds. And, you know, if you'll reach out to the administrators of that Facebook page, they can tell you what they'd like to see searched. flyer distribution is incredible. I mean, it's absolutely incredible. So, you know, if you want to do that, if you live anywhere in the Tennessee area or North Carolina area, you know, spend a day, handing out flyers. I mean, that'd be fantastic.
What about financially? What can they do?
I know there was a GoFundMe account created early, and, you know, we're not really using that or anything. I mean, I think that they're working on setting up, like a non-for-profit organization for all things related to Sebastian. But we're not there yet. I mean, right now we're not asking for money right now. We're asking for people to stop the drama, stop attacking people, get on the ground and help search, pass flyers out. I mean, this is not a money grab by the family or by me or by anybody else. I mean, again, Seth does not have one person today on his team that is getting paid. Not just me, but nobody. Nobody's getting paid. Everybody's volunteer. So, and if you've got time to volunteer and you live in that area, you know, reach out to us on the Facebook page. And if you want to spend some real time, I mean, we can put you to work doing something positive, I'm sure.
So basically at this point, no money is needed, I guess, for both of those cases. So what we can do is we can stay tuned and let people know if and when y'all get to that point. So have you at this point, somebody asked a good question. I'll throw this one out here, which is, and I'll take it a little bit further. They asked if you've been to Tennessee. And I'm sure you have at some point in your life been to Tennessee, but in regard to this case, have you been to Tennessee? And if not, I know you're planning on coming here. So if you want to share, are you planning on coming?
I'll be there for the vigil on the 19th.
So for those of you who were asking earlier too, when the next vigil was, it's going to be May 19th. And is that going to be at Long Hollow Church?
I'd have to verify that. I know it's at a church. I think that's accurate, but I'll verify that. But I will be there. From let's say the evening of the 18th through the 20th.
Okay, well, we'll definitely have to get together then while you're here.
Absolutely. So, tell Justin to put the link to the page, like T-Rev did, put the link to the page on your video, the Facebook page.
I can do that. I have to get the link. I don't know what it is, but I can do that. That's easy.
Yeah.
We can put it in the description.
Yeah, what we're trying to do is we're trying to follow kind of the model that we used in Caleb's case, where we grow a local page. And if we need volunteers, or if we've got 50 volunteers and we need somebody to feed them, or we need a drone, or we need a boat, we've got people locally there that are supporting Sebastian that will volunteer things, not money, but things or time or something like that. And that, you know, we're trying to create a group designed specifically for that. No drama, no bashing anybody, you know, simply supporting Sebastian and trying to create, you know, support in that community.
There's a lot of people asking a really good question, in my opinion. But I'm going to throw this up here real quick so people can see this for the vigil. Next vigil is 5/19 at 6 p.m. at Long Hollow Church. Unfortunately, I will not be at the vigil. That is my birthday, and we're going to be out for that. But anyways, people are asking about a reward fund. I know that we have one set up. I know y'all have one set up for Caleb, but to my understanding, there is no reward that's been offered at this point for Sebastian. Is there a plan to perhaps set one of those up as well?
I think when we figure out how we're going to accept donations, and I would really like, you know, everybody to be on board with that. I definitely think there'll be a reward offered. I don't have details about that at this time, and I don't want to overspeak.
That's fair. So there's more to come. Is there anything else that you'd like to add before we close off?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I appreciate you giving me the opportunity to come on and, you know, I say put out these fires. I mean, people that are going to be attacking and angry are still going to do their thing because they got to have something to talk about. But, you know, those of you that listen tonight that are here for the right reasons, you know, God bless you. We appreciate you.
Do you think with going forward that we should possibly set something up as a weekly for updates? Is that something you'd be open to?
Potentially. Yeah. I'm always open to that. I mean, if you've got the time, I mean, what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to create three or four people like that, you included, Justin, where, you know, I can set a schedule and I know, you know, Tuesday night at 8 o'clock Central, I need to be, you know, here. I mean, we're trying to create something like that. So the short answer is yes.
And just so you're aware too, and we can talk about this offline, we can also always record earlier and then still stream it live and be in the comments later in the, you know, when we stream it in the evening.
Evening always works better for me because it allows me to have some okay. family time earlier.
Yeah, I get that. So whatever you want, we can discuss that offline. So
I appreciate your audience though. There's been a few trolls, but there's been a lot of kind words to Sebastian and the case and what we're trying to do. So for those of you that are here for the right reasons, again, we appreciate you.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. I know you've had a long day and, you know, I appreciate you. I'm just going to say, I'm glad that there are people out there. You know, I'm glad that you're out there speaking for the Harrises. I'm glad that you're out there speaking for Sebastian. And, you know, let's just do what we can to keep these boys in mind, you know, keep Sebastian and Caleb at the forefront of all of this. That's who it's about. And, you know, that's all the focus needs to be on at this point, in my opinion.
I agree. Totally agree.
All right, everyone. Well, you guys have a good night. I will probably see y'all back live in about an hour on a different show talking about Micah Miller. But until then, y'all have a good night.
Thanks, buddy.
Thank you.